Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, and alongside me, Steve Harmison here at the Oval as the crowd are starting to make their way away from this famous old Test ground. And what a day's cricket we have to discuss for you today. After India and England both battled away for much of the day to leave this Test match in the balance. Plenty to discuss here on Following On. So, if you're listening to the podcast, you probably know by now that at stumps on day two, following a 13-wicket day, we had a 7-wicket day. India 43 without loss. They've chipped away at the deficit after England led by 99 runs, bowled out for 290. Ollie Pope top scoring with 81. Chris Wokes with a more than valuable 50 as he and Anderson put on 35 for the final wicket. And contributions along the way from Bairstow and also Ali, both reaching third in the getting into the 30s. 3 wickets for Yadav, 2 for Jadeja and Bumrah. Thakur with 1. A relatively expensive wicket, really, and Siraj with 1 as well. But after coming to bat with an hour and 20 minutes remaining in the day, all the pressure on India's openers. A couple of scary moments along the way, but they're still there at stumps, meaning it is anybody's game here at the fourth Test match at the Oval. So let's get on with the action.
Story of the day.
So, Steve Harmison, what a day's play, eh? It's been terrific, really, from ball one to the final delivery of the day. Sharma and Rahul playing slightly more expansively than we saw in the first innings. A couple of dicey moments. Sharma should have been caught by Rory Burns, went on 6. Instead, Burns volleyed it to the boundary. And KL Rahul, I mean, French cutting past his own stumps for 4 as well. But credit where credit's due. I thought both teams really refused to bow down. Both were behind at times. England were 62 for 5. They also led by 30, or with 3 wickets remaining. 4 wickets remaining, actually. Neither can really hold the initiative for long, and it's made for some really compelling cricket.
Yeah, where's your money? Where is your money? It's. I think it has to be with England because of runs on the board. It's still quite a bit ahead of India. But India will have, in the back of their mind, loads. England chasing. And I think that, psychologically, just brings the game a little bit closer together. So, look, it's been a great day. I thought you mentioned on how easy and how fluid that India played in Sharma and KL Rahul here. That, for me, tells you this wicket's flat. This wicket has flattened out. So where can India get? Can they get 320, 350 and above to get England to chase 250 on the fourth innings when the wicket will still be quite decent? You know, we're talking about end of day 3 into day 4. The wicket will still be in a decent state. They've got no R. Ashwin, so that, for me, that isn't helping India if they do get to that position. But, hey, just Chris Wokes. What a day he's had. Fantastic. Guy's trawled himself around the world for the best part of a year, 18 months, sitting in bubbles, unfortunate with COVID, everything that goes with it. Comes in very, very cold, no first class, real games into this game. He gets a 50, takes wickets in the first innings with good balls. Let's just hope he can. His body can last for the next 2 or 3 days to get him through to finish this game off, because England are going to need him. But for me, Chris Wokes is there. I still think England are in the box seats.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd say that England are as well. But these two put on another 50 tomorrow. Scores level. 9 or 10 wickets still in hand. And England know that they're going to have to chase down a target. And at the end of the day, India have been clinging on for 2 days now. And every time you think England are just getting away, whether it was when they had 127 for 7 on day one, or whether today, 222 for 6, England, they're led by 31, Moeen Ali, 35 not out, Ollie Pope batting like an absolute dream, the new ball still 13 overs away, and really India just hanging the ball out there, trying to get through to the new ball without basically conceding too many runs. That shot by Moeen Ali, just open up one end. You could hear the disappointment and a bit of anger actually here at this crowd. They weren't happy with that shot. And it's symptomatic of this engrossing test match and series. Neither side possibly has the quality or the belief, or I don't know what it is, to just make that final blow to get themselves clear. It's making for brilliant test cricket.
Yeah, 100%. I think Moeen Ali's not playing a lot of test match cricket in recent times, playing a lot of one day cricket. It was a poor shot. We mentioned yesterday on, you know, following on, we talked about on predictions in the YouTube, was a Moeen Ali special. And Moeen Ali special was another 20 more runs. Another 20 more runs just demoralises India, gets them further down the road, gets England into 300. And that is a psychological edge. But I'm not going to blame Mo too much because of the amount of cricket he's played in recent times. And I look at Ollie Robinson's shot. Ollie Robinson's shot with Chris Wokes going, I think Chris Wokes was about 20 at the time, going nicely, number 10. Just hang in there with him, and he's played a big shot. Was it England thinking, yeah, we've got a lead now. We've got a good lead now. Not we've got enough. But you mentioned the belief of grasping the game by the scruff of the neck and going, right, I'm going to win it. I'm going to blow these out of water. England get 350, England get 360, 70 on this surface. That is a huge lead, and India don't come back from it. This, I know it's a 100-run lead. It's still a good lead. But, like you said before, it's flat. If Sharma and Kiro come out early tomorrow morning and get off to a decent start, England are tired. Ollie Robinson looks tired. Chris Wokes hasn't bowled a ball in a long, long period of time. In consecutive days, and that's what I mean on that. Jimmy Anderson is 39-year-old, asking him to play back-to-back test matches, week off, back-to-back test matches, and then go again. All in all, put that into the melting pot. If England flag tomorrow, India potentially could get a lead, which brings Lords back into play. England made the running of Lords. India were out of it for the best part of 3 days, and then all of a sudden one mad hour session in India win the test match, and that we hope is not going to happen today, this week.
Tell you what though, we may be sounding a little bit doom and gloom here. England was 62 for 5 today when Malone was out. Both overnight batsmen were out quickly, and then Bairstow and Pope, they batted beautifully. They also showed up India's team selection again, because Thakur batted wonderfully well yesterday to get the side back in it, but they just seem to be one bowler short now. It's the perennial problem, isn't it? And England blessed with all-rounders, and in England you need the all-rounders maybe more than you do overseas. But that was great batting from Bairstow and Pope, and it really took the initiative away from India and in quick time.
Yeah, and I think the India point one is relevant, because we talked to Chet Narula at the start of the series. I've done something on a different channel, and two or three Indian players have said India will lose by picking the wrong side. That's how India lose. And I think at times in this game and at times in this series, it is so obvious. The only person that's not obvious to that R. Ashwin has to play is Virat Kohli, and the ego of Virat Kohli seems to have it that way, because my job this afternoon, I've been with the great England batsman Ian Bell, and I've been talking about times gone by, and the times gone by is England would never drop Graham Swann, and Graham Swann is like R. Ashwin is like Graham Swann for Andrew Strauss. He would give you control, and then he'd win you the game. He'd get you control in the game for the first innings, for the first 3 days, if need be. Game's not going anywhere, not turning. He'd bowl a line, he'd bowl a length, you could set a field to, so accurate, so consistent, you could hang your hat on him. And then in day 4-5, he'd win you the game. Bowl a spell, 5 foot, 4 foot, 5 foot, get that wicket out of nowhere with a ball spitting and turning. That's why Ashwin has to play it, and he hasn't played. But the Pope and Bairstow partnership, when they're both in together, and I've mentioned a couple of times in between test matches, these two guys are playing potentially to end Butler's career a little bit, and that sounds harsh on Joss, but Pope gets runs, Bairstow gets runs and takes a couple of catches. Joss Butler hasn't got the numbers and volumes of runs and hundreds behind him to come back and warrant a place in the side again like a Ben Stokes does. So that partnership was great. I thought Johnny a couple of times was a bit cat in a hot tin roof and he was a little bit edgy. I thought Pope played a beautiful innings, and there was a shot, and it was around about 11:45. Myself and Darren Goff sitting upstairs in the basking sunshine, and Bumrah bowled a ball, and we had just been commenting on how hard Bumrah was hitting the bat. He was hitting the bat lovely, and Pope from the pavilion end stood there, and he hit a drive straight through extra cover, and we both went, shot, yeah, and we looked at each other and went, oh, half volley, you got to put that away. And then we watched a big screen, and it was nowhere near a half volley, but he played it with elegance and got it, and it was just middle of the bat, and straight away I was like, wow, that is an unbelievable cricket shot. And he went on and played many more, and he's got England in a position that we are not far away from, a couple of wickets away from winning the game. But again, he'd be disappointed. England would be disappointed. We're not getting hundreds. He was in a position to get 100. He inside edge onto his stumps. Some would say unlucky, but you've got to be greedy. And like you said before, who's got the belief? Who really wants to go and win it? Is it systematic of this test matches or these teams that we are just giving it away and not, right, well, I'm going to take my team over the line? And I think that passage of play and both players getting out, along with Moeen Ali getting out, was probably where the England cricket team is right now. They haven't got the experience of getting a game over the line. Let's just hope it doesn't come back to haunt them.
How do you think England bowled? They had 90 minutes to bowl at India. There was a really bizarre moment when Rory Burns just completely did not see a chance that came his way of second slip, and it went straight onto his boot and then flew away down to third man for a boundary. Ollie Robinson's speed was down to 79 miles an hour. Chris Wilkes could have got a wicket. Essentially, India had a little bit of luck towards the end of the evening. But did you expect possibly England to bowl a touch better than what we saw?
Yes. What I would say with that is what we feared and what we've talked about over the course of the last few years, that these bowlers can't play in the same unit when we go away from home. We're actually on a wicket now, which I think is quite flat. And I think that is showing up, that on flat wickets we need to make different and to make extra. That's what the Mark Wood brings, or mystery spinner. We haven't got one. And England are trying to protect Mark Wood coming back from an injury. On the first morning, you win the toss, you bowl first on a pitch like that, and we had four perfect seamers for that condition. Now we've gone to a surface which has dried out, flattened out, and we now have four bowlers who, again, so-called experts, former professional cricketers, former England players have said that we've got a bowling lineup which looks pretty toothless and will struggle to get wickets. And I'm talking about overseas with a crooked ball. That looked a little bit like that. I mentioned it before. Jimmy Anderson's age, back-to-back, week off, back-to-back, and then try and go again. That's why I would have seriously considered not playing Jimmy or Robinson in this game and played Wood. And Robinson looks as though he looks a bit like what Siraj did last week. He looks as though he's run his race. And I'm not going to criticise him. No, I'm not going to criticise Jimmy Anderson. I'm not going to criticise Ollie Robinson because of what they've done in this series so far. Or Chris Wilkes because he hasn't had the volume of bowling going into it. But the problem is, this is what we've got. And yes, it's flattened out. Sharma and Keir Rahul didn't really look in too much trouble. It's a couple of times Sharma defended it. It went down and it went obviously back to the wicketkeeper, but he looked as if he was in total control. So that is a concern for England going forward, because if India do manage to get in, into a point, a position to go and, you know, leave England 220, 240, 250, there will be huge question marks going into the winter that these are our four probably best bowlers at this minute in time. But on flat wickets, we're going to struggle to play them all in the same game.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Come then, Harmy. Prediction time. This could be the defining day of the entire series. I keep saying that. But today, every session was like... It was absolutely crucial. At no point did this game drift. How are you seeing day three?
Oh, I'm going to upset some England fans here. I actually think India might turn up. I really think India might turn up with a bat. Like I've said before, I think the India England bowlers, if India get in, they could score heavily and score quickly at this ground. This ground is a very, very fast scoring ground. And if India get in, i.e. I'm thinking Rohit Sharma, I'm thinking Virat Kohli, because he looked as though he was a bit of touch in that first innings. He hasn't scored 100. He's due. Great players don't go long periods, or so long periods, without scoring big hundreds. He hasn't scored one for a while. This might be the one. I've just got a funny feeling in my water. This might be the one. If the ball goes soft and Jimmy's tried to change it a few times, India might still be batting this time tomorrow. And if they're still batting this time tomorrow, that means England going to chase 250 and possibly 300 fourth innings. Then they'd want R. Ashwin, but then it puts them right in the pound seats to take the victory and potentially go 2-1 to Manchester.
Wow, you heard it here first, folks. And I tell you what, if that is to occur, then credit to India, because they've been clinging on for test and a half now. So, look, it's been a crazy day's play. Not crazy, it's been a really interesting day's play. Crazy day on day one, possibly. But look, we'll be back on the following podcast following day three at the Oval as the kids around us collect the plastic glasses, which they can return for a quid a go. As we end the show, do you know that my nephews came here for a T20 game, 100 game actually? Do you know how much money they made from those? You see those pint glasses that those little kids are. Did I tell you how much they made?
No.
212 quid.
Did it? Right. Tell you what, they must have followed me all afternoon then. If they come and follow me and Garen Goff, are going to have we potentially could have a little bit of a drink tomorrow. So if we do, then these kids might make a few quid off me. And by the way, for all you TalkSport following on podcasters, listening, just check out Darren Goff for a minute. He's lost 2.5 stone. He looks the shadow of his former self. But congratulations, Coffee, because you've done an absolute brilliant job at sticking to the diet and eating it. Because for the last 2 days, he has brought his own food in his back lunchbox to eat in the green room. That takes some willpower. It takes some willpower to just do that and go with it. He's been drinking Diet Coke all day. Good on you, pal. You look $1 million.
Looks like the invisible man. He's lost so much weight. We'll be back. Thanks for listening to Following On.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.